Comfort Chakras by my seat.
Okay, seven Kof Pei Zayin. Just one Ha'ara. I was looking around a little about something we discussed last time. Remember, I quoted you that some Sofer said that the three Bedikos, if you hold like the Mechaber, the three Bedikos have to be during the time when she might get her period based on the Trumas Sedeshin of Sif Gimel. And he says that's absolutely necessary, no compromise possible. I saw in the Shiur Shevet Halevi in Simon Kof Pei Vav, he says, but if someone did three Bedikos Stam, they didn't take into account the Sif Gimel from the Sadeshin, they just did three Bedikos, the first three deals, even if it was during the time when they wouldn't have seen anyway, says Bidiyevit, he thinks we can be Mako and count those three Bedikos, even though none of the modern day poskim say that L'chachila, but that's good to know the Shevet Halevi, that even if you hold like the Mechaber, you need three Bedikos right away. If someone did that, and really you need the three Bedikos only in times when she could possibly get her period based on Sif Gimel, Shumas Hadeshen, but Bidiyevit, if she messed up and just did three Bedikos in any time, then she can rely on that Bidiyevit. Okay, Simon Kof Pei Zayin. Isha Sharas Adam Machmas Tashmish. Miyad bichdei shetoshit yado l'taks l'akara l'taks l'kases v'tidol eit l'dokot g'nech atzma. A woman who saw dam because of tashmish. How does she know she saw it because of tashmish? After all, maybe it came after tashmish. No, because she checked herself right away in the amount of time, only the amount of time it takes her to stick her hand under a pillow or a mattress or something, let's call it under a pillow, and take a cloth and check and wipe herself. She then does three more tashmishes. So first of all, we see there's a shiur miyat. We'll get to this a little later. But the Gemara says there's three shiurim of finding dam after tashmish, or in terms of whether we think it came during tashmish or not. Right? You find dam after tashmish. Do you think it came during tashmish or not? So the three time periods, one is called osyom. Osio means right away mamish. One time period is called osio, and this means right away. Right away means not that she sticks her hand and takes a cloth. She already has the cloth next to the makom tashmish, and as soon as they finish the tashmish, she wipes with the cloth. Now, of course, everything takes time, but halachically we consider that to be right away, and therefore, if she finds dam after tashmish, one case is osyom, this is considered vadai b'shas tashmish. Vadai the dam is near b'shas tashmish. Why? Because you found it afterwards, but halachically that was not a significant amount of time afterwards. It was considered the same time. Right, vadai hayadam bishas tashmish, and the nafkamina is that they're chayavin bechatos. Right, assuming it was a shogi, not an onus. Let's say they should have known better. Right, it was the vessas, they should have known better because they vadai did bias nida. Then there's a second shear. That's called achrei osyo. Right, afterwards. Right, they did it afterwards.
This is, what's this amount? This amount is a bit of a machlokas, you know, I think Rav Chisda and Rav Ashi, right? That's the smag that was very controversial in the Beis Yosef. What is this amount of slightly afterwards? So one amount is kidei, what's this? Shetoshit yada vichuli. Right, that is soon afterwards. Now, there's another shear. There's another, this is for sure, let's see, what's the shear of this? This is considered a suffix. Imhaya hadam bishas tashmish. Or it came afterwards. Because it's soon enough afterwards that the fact that I found it, the chazaka, the hashta, that's called the chazaka of now, that we project backwards. Usually chazaka projects forwards. There's also such thing as the chazaka that projects backwards. If it's so soon afterwards, the chazaka projects backwards,
because it's a very short while, it's like 2 seconds. So the Chazaka projects 2 seconds backwards that she was Tmei B'Shas Tashmish. But over here, she's Vade Tmei B'Shas Tashmish. It was right away. Halachically, that's the same time. We don't say maybe the millisecond in between the blood came after Tashmish. No, halachically, it's the same time. What if it's like 2 seconds afterwards? Shitoshi Yada. I don't know how long does it take to stick your hand under a pillow and get something and wipe. Probably 2 seconds. So in that case, the Chazaka, the Hasha is strong. If she's Tmeya now, she's probably Tmeya 2 seconds ago. It's a very short time. On the other hand, there's a Chazaka in Kar. She was Tahora an hour ago, so she's probably still Tahora with Dushas Tashmish. So that's a clash. She was Tahora 6 hours ago, so she's still Tahora. But she's Tmeya 2 seconds later, so she's probably already Tmeya. That's a 50-50 clash. How do I write? So that's considered a Suffolk. And then what's the din? Again, if they were at fault, then they're Chayavin Ashim Taloi for a 50-50 Suffolk. And then there is, right, achar, like way afterwards. What's an example of that? One example of that is, how about kidei sheteire min hamita, she gets out of bed, ve titol eid vichuli. She gets out of bed and then she takes the cloth and then she checks herself. Okay? She gets out of bed and then finally climbs the cloth and checks herself. That's many seconds. First to get out of bed takes a couple seconds. Then to get the cloth takes a couple seconds. That's already so far afterwards that the Chazaka to make her win. She was Tahora 6 hours ago. She's still Tahora B'Shas Tashmish. Oh, she was Tmeya 5 seconds, 10 seconds after Tashmish. That's too far away. The normal rule is that the status quo beforehand overrides what happens afterwards. So in this case, we say that she was Vadai, that Lo Haya Hadam B'Shas Tashmish. Why? Because of Cheskas Tara. She was B'Cheskas Tara. Oh, she was paying later, but that was much later. It was 10 seconds later. That later is not strong enough to be Mashpia 10 seconds ago. And therefore, to be honest, since she was Tahora 6 hours ago, she was B'Cheskas Tara. We haven't broken that Cheskas Tara because 10 seconds later, can't go back a full 10 seconds. It's not that paradox. We can't go that far back in time. And therefore, they are Pturim, right? They didn't do a Bias Nida. That's the general Mahalach of the Gemara. What we have in the Beis Yosef, in the Bach, and the Smag, etc., is a big Machlokas, Amoraim. What about Kidei Sheteired Min Hamita? But she's already holding the aid. Meaning, Kadesha, to get out of bed and find an aid, that's all too long ago. That's like an hour later. That might as well be a day later. That's not, halakhically, that's much later. How about to get out of bed, but she's already got the cloth, so she doesn't have to get the cloth. Do we say that takes longer? Or do we say, no, that takes the shortest Kadesha Toshib Yadda? Okay, this is a machlokas amoraim in the Gemara between Rav Chista and Rav Ashi. It's a machlokas rishonim. It's a machlokas achronim. The smag, it says, right? We saw in the Torah Beis Yosef. The smag says that counts as ashim tali, and Beis Yosef kills him and say we don't pass like Rav Ashi. And the Bach defends him and says no fancy lum. Says maybe we do pass like Rav Ashi. So this is a machlokas. We'll see that. Machlokas Amoraim, Machlokas Rishon, Machlokas Achron, Machlokas everyone in Judaism in the last 2,000 years. Now we'll see that there's no nafkamina because what the Ramah says at the end of our Sif that we're not Bekiyim in the Yeshirim anyway, so there's no nafkamina that Machlokas. But now let's think about what this has to do with Ramachos Tashmish, right? So if she has a Hargosha in the middle of Tashmish, the Achronim point out, the question is, okay, how do you know she was Ramachos Tashmish, right? So there are two ways to know she was Ramachos Tashmish. One is she has Argosha in the middle of Tashmish. If she has Argosha in the middle of Tashmish, then she was Ramachos Tashmish. But that's not so common, right? Usually the woman during Tashmish just feels the Tashmish. She usually doesn't know how to feel that she had a specific Argosha of bleeding. It could be, but usually not, right? So what's the common case? She either have to have a specific Argosha of bleeding, or find it right afterwards. But how right afterwards? She finds it afterwards, a long time afterwards, Then what do you mean? Then we assume the blood wasn't there with Shas Tashmish. But if she finds it right afterwards, or even a little afterwards, then it's either a Vadai that it was Shas Tashmish or a Suffolk Shas Tashmish. Either way, it's a Nisha Daraisa. Ashim Tol is also a Nisha Daraisa. And therefore, in these cases, Al Pidin, it would be Roa Machmas Tashmish, because it was either Vadai Shas Tashmish or Suffolk Shas Tashmish. Either way, that's an Isra Daraisa, and therefore it's a problem. In this case, it would not be Roa Machmas Tashmish. Again, by Machmas, I don't mean whether it was because of, I mean whether it's during. Right? They would not have an Isser of Roa Machmas Tashmish, because all this proves that she bled after the Tashmish. But there was nothing Isser going on here. She didn't bleed during the Tashmish. And therefore, she's not forbidden to her husband. So, she is, let's say, better. She is Asura Labala. We did Roa Machmas Tashmish. And here, she is not Asura Labala. Midin Roa Machmas Tashmish. Why? Because if she caught it right afterwards, she knows it was there during Tashmish. So now there's three times Chazaka she sees during Tashmish. She's not allowed to sleep with her husband because she's going to see during Tashmish. That'll be Chayim Karis. But if they only found it afterwards, even three, four, five, a gazillion times, then it's not a problem. All this proves is that when she has Tashmish, she sees afterwards. Nothing wrong with that. Let her sleep with her husband and she'll see afterwards. Big deal. Right? All the Achronim say is, what's enough for me? Now, let's say three times she finds an hour later. Then, the only thing else of her, she can't do Tashmish twice in one night. Because what was she kobeya? That when she has Tashmish, she bleeds afterwards. Right? So she has Tashmish, she should worry she might bleed afterwards, and she won't do another Tashmish. But she can still do one Tashmish a night, and it's no problem if she bleeds afterwards. Meaning, she might need Shivnikiyam, but there's no halachic prohibition involved. Okay, this is why the Shulchan Aruch starts by saying, Isha Shirazah Damachus Tashmish, it's only a problem of this terrible thing of Roa Machmas Tashmish that she has to get divorced, if it is Miyad, right away. How right away? It doesn't have to be right away to be Chai V'chattas. Even right away to be considered 50-50 Safek Nashim Tolli. Such as, for example, in the time it takes to stick her hand under the pillow and get an aid and wipe herself. Okay, that's the first point. Now, the we'll see at the end. No need for suspense here, that the Ramah is going to say, nowadays we're not an expert in this, so we don't make these chilukim. If she sees it close to Tashmish, we don't measure down to the second, because we're not experts in the shiur anymore. He goes on to say, then what happens next? Point out that there actually, how do you have a hefitimtzi where we know the blood came during Tashmish? There could actually be three hefitimtzis, as we pointed out. One is what's in the Shulchan Aruch here, right? That matzah miyad Achar Tashmish. Another example would be, how do you know the blood came during Tashmish if you found the blood?
On him.
On him. If you find the blood on him, even if it's 5 minutes later. Like, it couldn't have come after Tashmish, because men don't bleed from that part of the body. And don't normally bleed from any part of the body unless they get cut. So therefore, or matzah al Shalom, either finds it on his aver or wipes his with an aid and finds it on his aid. Or another example would be that Hergisha the Emtza Tashmish, but only if it was this, not a general Hargasha, but a specific Hargasha of bleeding that she knows she feels her dam and not just the Tashmish, which would be pretty rare, although, you know, theoretically possible, at least in some era. Then she is in trouble. Now, let's go on in the Shulchan Aruch, though. Says the Shulchan Aruch, excuse me, Mishameshes Shalosh Pa'amim. She does three Tashmishes. Im Bechol Shalosh Pa'amim Ritzufim Rasa Dam. If three times in a row she finds Dam, The Kolshkin must have shows from Al Eid Shalom, that's we had there for sure, if she finds three times on his cloth. She's not a little his husband anymore, she has to get divorced and marry someone else. So it takes three times to make her a chazaka. Now here, there's some ambiguity in the Lashon Shulchan Aruch. It says, if she finds the dam, then she's Meshameshes three times. And now, how do you count that? Does that mean once plus another two to make three? Or one plus another three? So what did the Shach and the Taz say? Including. Right, so he's saying Meshameshes Yimol Pa'amim. Meshameshes Gimel Pa'amim, say the Shach and the Taz, that it means the original time plus another two equals three. Yeah, because three times is a chazaka. Why shouldn't the original one count? Here we have a bit of machlokas. If you notice, the Peskei Tshuva in Simchat Beis says that the Torah Hashlamim disagrees based on the Raifit. Right? So, the Torah Hashlamim says that, no. It means the original time plus another three. But the original time doesn't count as one of the three. Okay, why not? So he quotes this as a mefurish in the Raifid. But it's not 100% clear what the Raifid meant. The original time plus another three, right? But the original time doesn't count. This is based on the Raifid. The Raifid says the original time doesn't count. And as a matter of fact, the Torah Hashlamim says Tema to me on the Shach, because the Shach in Kuf Pei Vav, remember, he was entirely based on the Raifid. His whole Machlokes Mechaber in Kuf Pei Vav was based on him like the Raifid. So doesn't he know the Raifid says the first one doesn't count? So why does the Shach here say the first one counts? So I don't think that's so hard to answer, because the Achronim point out there's many ways to understand what the Raifid meant. Why did the Raifid mean the first one doesn't count? And I think this is really Machlokes. The Raifid clearly said the first one doesn't count. And his lashon was unclear. He says, because she didn't do a bedikah the first time. I have to figure out exactly what that meant. Laniz Daiti, I think the Shach is not sozer himself here. Everyone would admit, in what case would everyone admit the first time doesn't count?
There's no bedikah at all.
If, and then how does she know she bled? She found it later. If she only found the dam later, of course the first time doesn't count. It wasn't miyat. And I think the Shach would say that's what the Raifid meant. The Shach would say, I think here, in what case does the first time not count in the Raivid? So I think the Shach would say, I think, he doesn't say this, Shach would say, you know when the Raivid meant the first time doesn't count? If you found blood later, not miyad. That's what the Raivid means the first time doesn't count. Avada. If the first time you find blood 10 minutes later, then the first time doesn't count. Avada. But in the Shulchan Aruch, when he says you found a miyad, the first time does count. So I think that's what the Shach and Taz would mean. And then it's Pashit. If you find a miyad, the first time counts. If you find it an hour later, the first time doesn't count. And therefore, the Shach's not really against the Raivid. That's just his understanding of the Raivid. And then it's a double pashut. Of course, if she's Meshach with her husband and finds blood 10 minutes later, of course the first time doesn't count. It only counts if it's Miyad.
So what's unique about the first time? Is there anything unique?
According to the Raivid, what's unique about the first time is that you don't have to check three times until that first time happens. Now, from then on, you have to check three times Miyad, and if you find three times Miyad, you're in trouble. Remember the sheet of the Raivid, right? If we hold, like the Shach and the Raivid, that you don't have to do three times when you first get married, then if you find it 10 minutes later, the next three times you have to do it. That's the Sheet of the Raivid. And just to answer Shua's question from last time, nearly that the Raivid would say, regardless of this Truma Sedesh thing, just the next three times stop, because the Raivid is not necessarily connected to Vestos the way the Rif does. It's the Rif who connects it to Vestos, the Raivid doesn't, and I'll explain that more in a moment. I think the Torah Shlomim would say, and this is a long essay in the Sidrei Tara here, and also in a little bit in the notes in the bottom line of the Yom Tov Mishnah, he would say, the Torah Shlomim, not clear, would say, but I think what he would say, I'm disagreeing a little with the footnotes here, that he would say, no, you know when the first case doesn't count? Either, well, there are two shittas. If she didn't do a bedika koden tashmish, then the first time doesn't count. Because maybe it was there before tashmish. How do we know it came during tashmish? So the first time, even if she found miyad, if she didn't do bedika koden tashmish, even if she found it miyad achar tashmish, then the first time doesn't count. Because how do we know it came during tashmish? Maybe it came before tashmish. And maybe that's how he understands the right fit. In which case, the first time, even if she wanted to be out afterwards, if she didn't do a bedika before, and it doesn't count. There's a more makel shita,
which the Hagos or Aros here quote, he doesn't really seem to quote a lot of people. He just thinks it's very true.
Says, maybe the first time, this would be a strange shita, which I'm not so convinced by. This is the Sidrei Tara. Maybe the first time never counts, regardless. Then it would just be like a special din, the first time doesn't count, which would be very strange. Basically, the Kiddush would be, whenever something's unusual, it usually doesn't happen, the first time never counts. I think that's unlikely. Lemaisa, I think it's much more likely the Torah Shlomim held this way, which is what the Sidrei Tara says. And that's what the right meant by she didn't do bedika. So again, we have two ways of reading the right bit. The way, in my humble opinion, the Shach, but I think it's Pashut, the Shach would read the Raifid, is that, yeah, if the first time she didn't do bedika afterwards, she only finds it 10 minutes later, of course the first time doesn't count. It just makes her check the next three times. And that's why the right Shach says, in our Shulchan Aruch, when she found the miyad, the first time does count. The Torah of Shlomo would be more mako. He would say the first time doesn't count if she didn't do bedika beforehand, even if she found the miyad afterwards, or he found it on him. That would be a cool Torah Shlomim. The Pashup shot is that we pass like the Shach and the Taz on this, not like the Torah Shlomim. In case someone's going to have to get divorced, they'll have to ask a big post and see if he can be Mekel. But this doesn't really happen so much anyway. So the Pashup says we hold like the Shach and the Taz, that the first time counts if she found a miyad. Why did the Raitan say the first time doesn't count? He meant if you didn't find a miyad, then nothing ever counts if you don't find a miyad. The second time also doesn't count if it wasn't a miyad. Then the Shach's not really saying much of a chiddush. Okay, that is in terms of the three times. Then these also says the Ramah here, only if you find it three times in a row. What counts as Ritzufim? What counts as in a row? Right? What counts as in a row? So, the Pesachei Tshuva here brings a big chumer from the Chavos Das, and it's gotten Gibel. Right, what does Ritzufa means? So clearly, if you have, right, dam, then she's asura. That's Ritzufa. If you have dam, dam, nikia, dam, she checks if she's clean, dam, that's not Ritzufa. She's clearly muteris. Right? She didn't have three in a row. What about the following case? What if you have dam, she didn't check miyad, and dam. Dam, didn't check miyad, and dam. So does that count to break up the ritzifa? So on the one hand, you could say she didn't see. You could say she didn't see, it breaks the ritzifa. So the other hand, she didn't check. Maybe there was dam, and she doesn't know. Maybe it just is neutral. So here, this is where the Sifkat and Gimel and Pesachei Tshuva, the Chavos Da says she's Asura, but all the other Achronim disagree. All the other Achronim say she's Muteres, because even if she didn't check right away, if there's no Dam, there's no Dam. We pass them like the other Achronim. However, this would be very clear. If she had Dam, and then she had didn't check Miyad, and found Dam later, and then Dam, then it's Pasha, she's Asura. It doesn't count as one and three if she didn't find Dam Yad. But it doesn't break the Ritzifus because
She fell down. It might have been miyad, right? So then, this is the repasha. This wouldn't break the Ritzifas, because like if she had checked, she might have fell down miyad. But unlike the Chabaz Das, who she didn't check and didn't see anything, didn't check miyad, and didn't see dam, the Chabaz Das, very much, says there might have been dam if she checked right away. We say, nah, if she never saw it the whole night, then the stomach, there wasn't any dam, and then we're mikel.
Right, so they can't restart this because she may or may not be a surah nirbala to recheck the next three. Meaning, in these scenarios where there's four vias, we allow three vias until we find out.
No, we allow three vias till we have a chesgas iser. Like in this case, dam dam clean. Now she's allowed another. She's now allowed another three vias.
So the in the case number three, so dam dam didn't check.
So she should have checked.
So she should have checked, but she
according
didn't.
To the right.
In the case we haven't found out that they did have a fourth time, are they allowed to try it for their fourth time?
Yes, because she's not muchzak yet. She's
even though it's
she's allowed to do. She's allowed to check here. She's allowed to check here.
So we don't say you didn't know suffik, we don't know.
No, because a suffik chazaka is not a chazaka. Chazaka has to be muchzak.
Okay.
Right. So in other words, this neutral one, we possibly get the Chabaz Das, this saves her. This neutral one doesn't save her, but doesn't ask her, so she's allowed to do the fourth.
And the Afronim in the third scenario, they say that she says it's no more terrace.
Right. Unless she sees dam, this, and this.
Meaning, should she be doing Bidikos for the next three? Because we're not sure if she did.
Yes, because she should have to do Bidikos until she either gets three clean in a row or three bloody in a row, according to the Ravid.
It's not Materis and we're done with this. It's Materis and you have to keep
correct.
Here you have to keep checking.
Correct. Okay. That's if she sees three in a row. We define three. We defined in a row. We define miyad. Now with Vin, she's not allowed to stay with her husband. She has to divorce her husband. We'll see, of course, in Sif Gimel whether she has another option. Vitina se la'acher. She has to divorce her husband, and then she's allowed to marry a second husband. Why is she allowed to marry a second husband? Because what the rule of the Gemara says, ein kol ha'etzba'os shavos. Right, etzba'os here is a euphemism. It's lashon nekiyah for the eiver tashmish. Right, not all eivers are the same, and therefore, even if she's most likely that the first husband's eiver caused ro'amachus tashmish, maybe that's only him. She's not mostly for a different guy, and therefore she's allowed to marry a second guy. The Nod Behuda in the Pesachim Chuz we've gotten above says not really so pasha, because this ain't called etzba'os shavos. Is not really such a mochrach svara, because after all, maybe the second husband's aver is as strong as the first, maybe weaker, maybe stronger, who knows? So what the Nod Behuda really says is based on a sveik sveika. Right? So this, you know, heter lebaal sheni, what's the reason? The reason is ein kol ha'etzba'os shavos. But the Nod Behuda of Cotton Vav says, and says, I mean, again, I don't know if we pass like it doesn't come up so much, yes?
Well, isn't the Svan get it? And isn't it come along with the Klamra also that, like, if she does do a Bidika, then, like, the whole intent.
Exactly, that's where he gets it from.
Right.
That's where he gets it from, Nachon.
Like, a unique sheet of the Snag, which was, like, not, like, I thought that there's something with the note, this is really a good rule. The margin mentions specs,
because the margin
sounds like it's a rule.
True, but that smog is sort of a little, well, it's mukher according to the movie, possibly she's mutter to do it after her first husband. Because think about it, if she's mutter after her first husband, why do the Gemara say wait till after the third? If we possibly mutter after the first, right. Must be, because it's an it's a total to wait for the third, because there's a downside to doing after the first. What's the downside? It must be that if she finds on the top that she's forbidden to everyone. So the way we paskin, that comes out as mukher. You could get out of it with a bach, but anyway, but what do we say? But really we say it's based on a sfeik sfeika, shema, right, sfeik makor, sfeik stadim, as we'll learn. Right, whenever there's blood during tashmish, it may be abrasion just in the side of the beis achitzon. And it might just be blood from scraping. Or it might be menstrual blood, so we're not sure if it's menstrual blood or wound blood. And even if it's from the makar, right? Va'afilu tema min ha-makar shema etzba disheni lo yigrom
Lirias Dam. Right? Maybe the Etzba the Sheni will be as bad as the Etzba the Rishon, maybe not. So it's based on Sveik Sveika. Therefore, says that it'll be Huda. If you know it's from the Mokar, like let's say it was a ton of blood, so like it couldn't come from the Tzadim, then you don't have this heter of Inkolz Val Shavos because you don't have a Sveik Sveika. Or if she does the test, with the which we'll see later, and finds on the top, then you don't have a Sveik Sveika anymore. You know it's from the Mokar. If you know it's from the Mokar, then she's not Moteris or a second husband. Okay. We don't apply these tons anymore, which we'll explain soon. But let's just explain now why this is really not as lamaisa nowadays. Nowadays, generally, it's pretty well accepted by medical science that in our times, it's not really found. Yeah, anything's possible. That tashmish will cause a woman to bleed menstrual blood. And usually, nowadays, it's all menat stadim. Like the doctors will tell you now, it's always menat stadim. If a woman bleeds during tashmish regularly, it's obviously if she bleeds once, she might have coincidentally got her period. Anything happened coincidentally. But if it's not coincidence, if it's a pattern, then it's always menat stadim nowadays. It's always because of some wound, some abrasion. And therefore, what we do nowadays is we have a doctor or someone examine and check, and we find proof. Like if someone ruined really have this, we go and find medical proof that it was from the tzadim, and then we would matter her. Okay, the standards of proof we'll see and say, hey. So therefore, nowadays, I've never heard of anyone getting divorced because the romach was tashmish. Usually nowadays, however, you will need to have a lot of tircha in order to prove what it is, but in the end, you'll manage to prove that it's from the tzadim because in modern biology, that's usually what happens. Jacob.
The vedekas doesn't come until like this is the second time she sees down. Does she still like? Is she already in this?
No. Once you find a maka, she's.
But that's the second time. Was it the first time you don't have?
No, because if it's a pattern, the pattern's the same thing.
The
pattern's going to be the same thing.
Is that also modern science would say like a jump like any other physical phenomenon? Is that the same that it wouldn't cause the period? I'm just wondering like.
No, it's with these things, it's hard to have hard. It's not like physics. Not like you can have rules what will or won't. And just I would say that it's so rare as to be negligible that tashmish could cause menstrual bleeding. Other things might be more common nowadays that are mentioned in Chazal. But tashmish causing menstrual bleeding is just not found in a lot of modern science. I'm not saying it can't happen once. It's not that they've proven it's impossible. It's just really negligibly, it's so uncommon as to be negligible. And they've discovered that nowadays, anyone who bleeds during tashmish, 99.999%, you're going to find that it is because of, if she bleeds three times and it's a chazaka, that it's because of the tzadim, but you'd have to be a triach yourself to prove that. Okay, we'll come back to that a little more later. So, now the Gemara continues. Ella tisgarish v'nosh la'achar. Nisesh la'achar v'rosa damach v'tashra. She marries a second guy and still finds damach v'tashra three times. So 1, 2, 3 with the first guy, bad. 4, 5, 6 with the second guy. Gimel ha'm retzufim, also bad. Asur l'shamkam, also bad. She can't stay with the second husband either. Ella tisgarish v'nosh la'shlishi. But she can be divorced and marry a third, because maybe these two guys at Tzvos were different. V'im gamel shlishi v'rosa damach v'tashra shalosh v'amim, 7, 8, 9. She sees damach v'tashra from the third guy also, retzufim. Then, if three men caused her to bleed during tashmish, that's a chazaka that all men would cause her to bleed. Now all that's false are shavos. And therefore, ella sur l'kol, she is forbidden to anyone, she is an aguna, ad shetivdok, until she does the bedika discussed in Sifvav, until she does a diagnostic test. Before we get to the diagnostic test, let's just read the Ramah. V'yesh omrim, she'ein anubikim, ezer mikri machmas tashmish. Some people say we're not bucky how soon afterwards is machmas tashmish, and how soon afterwards is not machmas tashmish. Ki'ein bikim b'shir nizkar. We're not a bucky anymore in the shir, the Chazal said. Okay, it's a big chumra, because, beds are beds, and pillows are pillows. Doesn't seem to be so hard, but the Ramah still is choshi v'ar bucky. V'lechein kol shirosh sholosh pa'amim somach l'tashmish, mikli dun machmas tashmish. If you see three times close to tashmish, even if it's not within 2 seconds, that's called Rora Machmas Tashmish, and Esra Bala, and she's usher, and she has to be divorced from her husband in this case. The Elu Sholosh Pa'amim Tzrichim Lios Ritzufim, only 3 times in a row. V'alloy Ritzufim L'Esra Bala, if it's not in a row, she's not usher, because that has nothing to do with Bekiyas, that's just the din.
This makes no difference if the beginning of marriage saw three times, or if in the middle of marriage she got messed up and saw three times. Either way, now she's mochsak. This is only if she's close to Tashmish. Then we're machmir. We say even close to Tashmish. But if she doesn't see close to Tashmish and he doesn't find it on him, she only finds it on her an hour after Tashmish, then lo nesra b'alam atar t'lech atar asa tamid. She's not forbidden to her husband, and after she's also going to mikvah, she sees, but after she goes to mikvah, she's permitted to him forever, v'dinik v'she'en lo veses, as if she doesn't have a veses. The Pesach Tshuva points out from the Chabos Das that if she's machzik herself three times to see an hour after Tashmish, she's still not allowed to have two Tashmishes in one night, because after one, she's now expecting. Okay, but that's not such a hard thing to keep. And that's the din. What is samach? So if you're looking about the shulchan and you find some achronim say, well, samach l'mincha is half an hour. Maybe within half an hour we're not bekiyim, and we think that might be usher. But that seems very radical, right? I mean, the amount of time it takes you to stick your hand under a pillow and get something and wipe yourself—that's clearly a lot less than half an hour. You can't like say all samach is half an hour, and therefore we say no. Samach means like, you know, how long does it take to put your hand under a pillow, even if you do it very slowly? You know, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi. Okay, 10, 15 seconds. You know, you want to be super duper machmir, 15 seconds, really probably closer to 10 seconds, would be what the Rambam meant by samach. So again, instead of 2 seconds, you meant 10 seconds samach. But he didn't mean once it's a minute, or once it's, you know, close to 45 seconds, or even 30 seconds. Man, he didn't mean that. That's clearly not samach, and therefore that would not be a problem of roa machmas tashmish. But we don't distinguish between toshit yada and tirvin amita. If it's within 10, 15 seconds, then that would be clearly samach, and would be within this chumra of the rabbah. Okay, now Chesky, I need your help for a second. Before we go on to sit bays, I want to mention the famous hakira of the No Debi Huda and the Chavos Das here. That is a theme that recurs throughout the Pesachei Tshuvas and the Sif. If you notice, you know, there's a lot of details in the Pesachei Tshuvas and the Sif. Why are there so many details in the Pesachei? Why are there such long Pesachei Tshuvas on this Simon? Anyone? Why are there longer Pesachei Tshuvas on this Simon than any other Simon?
Because there's a Hakira.
What?
Because there's a Hakira.
No, that's not why. It doesn't work that way. That's why they're longer of times. The answer is Pasha. Just, I mean, this is not a Lundish question, just a common sense question. Because in this siman, a woman might have to end up getting divorced. Like all the other simanim, is the shayla, does she have to go to mikveh in 7 days, 12 days or not? So you know what? If a shayla comes up in the posek, he'll be machmir. This siman is like, does a woman have to get divorced or not? So what happens when shaylas went to real poskim, because they chuvah shaylas or chuvahs? They were ma'ayin more and more and more and more and more to try and find a kula. So because, in general, whenever you have a siman where the stakes are high, we're like, the iser would be terrible, then you're always going to have long Pesachei Tshuvas. Because the poskim felt an obligation to really try to go all out and be ma'ayin extra, extra. And that's why you have long Pesachei Tshuvas. Just it so happens that there's a big hakira that pervades them, but that's not what they had in mind. The poskim don't only write long tshuvas because of hakiras. They usually write long tshuvas because of the gravity of the situation.
Well, I mean, I guess if they're not expert, that's just
there's no choice but to be machmir. It's not even something to write chumra. Even if it's something to rabbanan, if we're not experts, then we still have to be machmir. Because there's a rule that whenever it's not really suffic, it's just that we are too stupid to figure it out, then we have to be machmir. Because like we can't say I'm too stupid to figure it out, so I'll be mako. Like that's ridiculous. It's your own fault if you're too stupid to figure it out, and therefore you have to be machmir. Okay, I'm oversimplifying here, but generally that's the mahalach, that when we're not experts, we always have to be machmir, because you know we shouldn't gain from being not an expert. We can only lose from being not an expert. And Ashkenazim are never experts. If you ever learned any siman in your Yoritea.
More out of curiosity, the postgame of 200-300 years ago, were they noted to try to find kulas in these cases, or it was very common that they were passing that people should get divorced?
No, I mean, poskim always tried to find kulas in these cases. Now, nonetheless, right, you can always find a kula, right? I remember Rabbi Lamb once said, they gave a yortzeit shiur for Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, right? She was Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. And he said, the gods of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, I don't remember the exact numbers, is that he was a big makeup.
He had 181 tshuvas about a guna or something, and he was matur 178 of them. And this is also like a guna, meaning divorce. The third time she's not a guna, and even the first time, divorce is a serious thing. So he said, to matur 181 of them is no kutz. You just have to not have your shemayim. You can matur all 181, right? But the godless of Yisrael Chanan is that, you know, that A, he was clever enough to matur 178, and, like, you think he didn't care about the other three? He probably didn't sleep for 2 weeks trying to matter the other three. But if he couldn't find a kula, then he couldn't find a kula. And that's what it means to be mekabel the ol malchus shemayim in the Torah. So here also, the poskim always try to be meikul in these cases. Well, okay, then it became a judgment call. But nowadays, you don't really have this so much in the poskim because we have more advanced medical science and you know, we can do more beaver medically. And usually that takes care of the issue, even though it's a big tircha. Now, what's the big chakira? The big chakira is this. Says the Nodi Yehuda that he notices a pattern. How many times is Matzik Yuhas Roa Machlas Tashmish?
Three
times. Where did we see three times before? Vestos. So he says Roa Machlas Tashmish is a hechitintzi of Veses. There's no new din of Roa Machlas Tashmish. It's just a hechitintzi of Dini Vestos. After all, remember, there are some Vestos that happen based on the calendar. This is not one of them. Some vestos that happen based on an involuntary physical symptom. This isn't one of them. And some vestos that happen based on a voluntary physical action, what we call veses kfitza, jumping. So tashmish is a physical action. And therefore, that's koveya veses. That's the sheet of the Nodi Yehuda. Someone bring me a good raya from Simon Kofpei Vav that we should view Romach was tashmish as part of the dinam of vestos. What did the machaber pasim mean in Kofpei Vav? That when you get married, you have to check three times in case your Roma was Tashmish. Who has to check?
Only
one without a Vesses. Why does only one without a Vesses have to check? So if she has a Vesses, she has a Vesses. But if she doesn't have a Vesses, then maybe this is her Vesses. Right? So that's the riff. So based on the riff, you really see that you should just view this within the framework of Vestos. And the Chavos Das famously argues on him. Now, if you look up the Chavos Das inside, which is kedai to do if you have time, it's very long and very longish. I'll be like, sorry, 10 kashas, and then like answer them all with the yesod. The Chavos Das, he's actually more complicated than you might think, because he really says both sides of the Hakir are true, and there's Tzvei Dinim in Romachos Tashvish, and he uses that like to put together all kinds of Sveikos and Sveikas to explain all kinds of phenomena that I'm not going to go into now, the Ayin Sham. But he says it's not a Din of Vestos. It's a separate category, what he calls a holy. It's a kind of disease. It's not a din of vestos. It's a special disease that tashmish causes the menstrual blood to come out, not similar to any of the other vestos. Okay, this is very much a formal chakira. You know, I don't know intuitively how to express the chakira, but formally the chakira is this part of the framework of vestos, or is this its own framework? So this is the famous machlokes in the Nodi Yehuda and the Chavos Das. There are many, many nafkaminas that we'll just mention. And again, with the caveat, I won't repeat it again, the Chavos Das really holds both dinim, it's tzvei dinim. But here we have Ro Machmas Tashmish. Is it midin veses? Or is it a separate din? And this is, in the words of the Chavos Das, he calls it a holy of mimala venofatsas. What was the exact lashon he used?
That's it.
What?
That's exactly
the lashon that he used. Mamala v'nofatzas. Mamala v'nofatzas. Filled up and spills. Meaning it's not a regular vesses, it's a special holy that somehow the blood spills because of the tashmish. I assume what he means is that it's not that somehow, you know, translate to modern terms, the hormones of tashmish cause a certain reaction. It's rather that just the jiggling of the tashmish, you know, causes, just knocks the blood out, which is a totally different kind of thing, which has nothing to do with the regular framework of Veso. So this is the Nodi Yehuda.
Veso is limited to hormones?
No, I mean, they didn't know there's such thing as hormones, or at least not in those words. I'm just giving an illustration. You'd think. You'd think. But I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, you have to ask how kvitza works. Because kvitza does release a lot of hormones. Right? Or at least, I don't know what's up. Yeah, all those chemicals are hormones, no? Doesn't you get endorphins when you do kfitza or something? Is endorphin a hormone?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, releases hormones, great. Apparently they're very good for you, endorphins. I should exercise. I'll get endorphins. But maybe I could just buy a dietary supplement and save myself time. There are many nafkaminas of this chakira. Mostly the nafkaminas are, the nafkaminas are pasha. Like, do we just apply the rules of Vestos, or do we not apply the rules of Vestos? So though not necessarily in order of the Pesach Tshuvas here, but one classic example is the Pesach Tshuvas of Gotten Hay discusses, and we'll bring all of them. How about when she's pregnant or nursing? She doesn't have to be kosher for Vestos, right? How about Bimei Ibor Vehanaka? How about a raw machlis tashmish? Bimei Ibor that was ambiguous. How about raw machlis tashmish? Nisabra Vehinika. Is she forbidden when she's a muberis and a menekes, or the same thing, right? Or a raw machlis tashmish, let's say, but that's a classic example. Says the Noda Bihuda that if she's raw machlis tashmish, let's say that she gets lucky, third time she gets pregnant, right? Third time she gets pregnant. She's now forbidden to her husband forever, but now she's pregnant and nursing. So says the Noda Bihuda, she's luteris. Why? Because you don't have to worry about Vestos when you're pregnant and nursing. She got lucky. Says the Chalos Das, this is Pisri Tshuva Sefkat and Hay, that's Pisri Tshuvas. This is, says the Noda Bihuda Muteres, says the Chalos Das, Asura, and this is just an afkamina of their Chakira. If it's a Vestas, you don't have to worry about a Vestas then. But if it is a different kind of holy, then we have no evidence that that kind of disease goes away when you're pregnant or nursing, and you should still have to worry about that disease. Another classic example is
They're arguing in Lamdas, but isn't there Metzias that they could have just
it's a good question. At a certain point, I'll just admit that I don't really know the answer to your question, because they're arguing in Lumdus. Basically, do you take all the rules of Vestos and apply them, or do you not take the rules of Vestos and apply them? So if you don't take the rules of Vestos, then everything's across the board, and there's no conditions or exceptions until proven otherwise. If you take the rules of Vestos, you have rules. Zeb says, why don't they just try to figure out the biological mechanism? So the answer is because they didn't have biology in those modern biology in those days, so it was hard. And nowadays, we can't necessarily relate to these categories because we don't have a good grasp of how it works. So we're stuck. So I can't do anything practical for you. I could just tell you what the Echronim say, so we'll just look at it quickly. Another classic nafgamina is the discussion of Pesach Tshuva Sivkat and Zayin, for example. What if... Sivkat and Zayin. Here we are. second half, what if she sees three times in Yemei Tohar? What's Dam Tohar? So we don't practice this nowadays, but theoretically, it's not us or Dina, it's just based on Minag. Dam Tohar is, if you read the Chumash, most people don't understand what the Chumash says. But if you read the Chumash, it says if a woman has a baby boy between day 7 and day 33, even if she bleeds, she's still tahora. She's no muteris to her husband. If she has a baby girl, between day 14 and day 80, day 7 and day 40, I meant, for 33 days, even if she bleeds, she's muteris to her husband. That's called the meitara. If she has a girl between 14 and 80, if she bleeds, she's muteris to her husband. So then, obviously, she's muteris to her husband, because blood's not a problem. What if she has beer with her husband during meitohar, and then proves that she's there and then doesn't see anything? Right? Does that prove that she's cured? So here also, this is Sivkat and Zayin. What about a raw machlis tashmish? Sheshimsha bibei tohar. By the way, let me just put some thing on the board here that's going to be useful for all of Hilchas Nida that I want everyone to remember. There's two phrases in Hilchas Nida that are almost the same, and that could confuse you, that the poskim use. This is just the jargon of the poskim. There is dam tahar and dam tohar. These are two different things. Dam tahar means it's not red, and that's why it's mutter. Main shiz that green or blue or more common yellow, etc. That's the poskim use kofei ches. Dam tohar means it's red, but during Yemei Tohar, after Leida, which are again 14 to 80 for a girl and 7 to 40 for a boy. Okay, these are both things that are mutter al pi din. But it's important not to get confused, because occasionally it will not be always clear from context what it means, and you just have to know the code words. Anyway, what if Shishim Shav Yemei Tohar? And she didn't see anything. After all, well, she's stuck. She can never sleep with her husband again. But in Yemei Tohar, she can sleep with her husband. So in Yemei Tohar, she sleeps with her husband and then finds that she's clean. Is that good enough? What? Yes. Yes, exactly. So already Roma was Tashmish. So, according to the Noda Yehuda, this is Pasha. Says the Noda Yehuda.
Wait, why could she be Tohar?
Because the whole Chazak, she'll bleed during Tashmish. But it's okay if she bleeds during Tashmish, because that blood doesn't answer her. It's like Xeris Akasa, that blood doesn't answer her.
And we don't assume that Xeris Akasa is based on the fact that she's not going to get her period until
it's... No, because we paskin, it's Machlokes Rav and Levi, whether it's Mayan Echad or Shtei Mayanos, is it the same kind of dam or different kind of dam? We paskin Mayan Echad, it's the same kind of dam, it's just Xeris Akasa that it's Tohar, right? Meaning, it's Machlokes Rav and Levi. Is it Tarks? Is it a different kind of dam, or is it just Xeris Akasa? And we paskin, it's just Xeris Akasa.
Mayan Echad doesn't mean like a different makom, it means a different type of blood.
No, Shtei Mayanos. I don't know what it means. I don't care. We paskin Mayan Echad. I don't care just because it's one of those science and halacha complicated things. We paskin Mayan Echad, meaning even if she bleeds, Mamish has one episode of bleeding that goes from Tseis of one day before Tseis to after Tseis, and it's clearly the same as that blood from the same place. Xeris Akasav, that on a certain day it's mutter, and on a certain day it's aser. See, for Xeris Akasav it's mutter. But he says, she is still asura after the Yemei Tohar. Why? Because she hasn't proved that she's cured. Because she's not cured, she just doesn't have a veses in Yemei Tohar, as opposed to two days. The Chavos Das also gives that as Feidina, but he quotes here from the Sidrei Tara and Kresi Uplesi. Sidrei Tara and the Kresi Uplesi says she's muteres because it's proof that Nisrapa, that she was healed. So if you say it's like a special holy, then if you ever can do bias without bleeding, that proves you're healed. But if you say it's within Vestos, then the fact that 20 days after childbirth, you don't bleed, doesn't prove anything. It only proves something if you're in a regular time and you don't bleed. You can't be ochre veses during Yemei Tohar, right? If a woman has a veses every 29 days, you think she could be ochre because after childbirth she doesn't get her period of 29 days? No, you can only be ochre veses when you are not with Sulaika
Sama. Why would one time prove that she's healed? Would you have to do it three times?
That's a good question, but we will get to that. Okay. Okay.
So it's not about the halachic Yemei Tohar, right? It's about the amount of time after childbirth.
Correct. The only reason they use the example of Yemei Tohar is because everyone agrees that Tashmish is mutter during Yemei Tohar, even if she bleeds. That's why it's the example. You could also say nafkamina of just if she shimsha when she's pregnant, it doesn't see. The thing is, it wouldn't have been a great nafkamina because according to the Yehuda, it wouldn't uproot. And according to the Babas Das, it would uproot, but she's not allowed to do it in the first place. So that's why I picked the Yemei Tohar, because she's allowed to do it in the first place. Just one more nafkamina, and then we will leave it. Another nafkamina. I just want a nafkamina that's mutter. How about sifches? Sifches is another nafkamina. How about sifches? How about ramachlis tashmish? Right? She budka bishvo feres bimei ibura. She gets pregnant the third time, she gets lucky. When she's pregnant, she does the bdika shvoferis with that tube, and it comes out clean. So, you can imagine, says the Noda Yehuda, she is still asura
after she finishes nursing, because that doesn't approve her bestess. She's misulekas damim during she's pregnant, so of course she passed the test. But it doesn't approve her bestess when she finishes nursing. She is still forbidden, and that's exactly what they quote here from the Nodeb Yehuda. And let's say, let me just add one thing. And it was clean. She does think it was clean. Well, if you took the tzad of a choli, you could easily say, same as someone who said you're telling me, she's muteres, because it's proof that, let's say, Nisrapa, that she got better. Because again, it's all enough means the same. If it's been investos, it only applies, it doesn't apply when you have left stomach, meaning it doesn't apply to Asriyu, and it doesn't apply to do a test and matri you. If it be in holy, then all time periods are the same. I'll just do one other nafkamina, and then we will go on to this Chakira, which is Pesach Tshuva Aleph, I think. Yeah. Sif Aleph has the following case. What if she is Roh Machmas Kashmish, Ve'achar Kach Kava Veses Liyamin? Right? Or it could be any Veses. Roh Machmas Kashmish, then she's Kovei another Veses. Here says the Nodeb Yehuda, Bikula. Says the Nodeb Yehuda, Muteris. Why? Because a vessus of days overrides a vessus of actions. That's a rule. A vessus of actions is treated for many halachic purposes like a vessus of kavua, we'll see. This is all things we'll see. A vessus of days to be a kavua. And therefore the rule is because a vessus of days always uproots a vessus of actions. That's a general rule we'll see in Simon Kofpei Tess. So therefore, she's uprooted her vessus of actions by vessus of days. Then he has another complicated thing, which we won't go into. That's what the Nodeb Yehuda thinks, but obviously, if you held it has nothing to do with vestos, then that would not that would not help at all. And here's what the Chabos Da says.
Okay, so you're studying a new vessus of that for your previous one.
Right, but the rule is that vias vessus of days uproots a vessus of actions. That's a rule. Even if it didn't like disprove it. Just automatically, if I could add, if I had a fine-tooth pen, I would say, vessus of days, kvias vessus of days automatically uproots vessus of actions. Okay, let's take his word for it because it's true. Okay, and then he says maybe even if she already had a vessus kavua, it would help, because maybe even the pre-existing vessus kavua can uproot a vessus of action. That is more misopic about, and we'll get to that. Okay, so we see basically, again, it's no chop, it's very formal. This chakira, do you apply the rules of vestos, or do you just apply no special rules and start from scratch? It's a famous machloksi in the Nodeb Yehuda and the Chabos Das. Okay, how do we pass again? Not so clear, because it doesn't really come up so much anyway. So we will go on to Sif Beis. Says the Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis, Ketzad Bodekes, right? And this is all following the Brice and the Gemara, right? The Brice says she does three times, and the first bowel, second bowel, third bowel, and then she needs Bedika. How does she do this diagnostic test? So it's very clever, right? What's the test for? Well, we'll see. The main thing of the test is how to tell if the dam comes from the mukher or the tzvadim. Now, it's not so pushy. If you just put something inside and check, oh, is the blood on top of it or the sides of it, that won't help. Because even if the blood came from the mucker, it might have dripped to the sides. Even if it came from the sides, you know, it might have been caught on the top. So how do you do it? So you do it with a tube and a Q-tip. Ketza bodekes, no tel shofer shel avar. You take a shoferis of, not ever, but avar, which is the, in Lashon Chazal, avar is the same as, in Lashon Mikra, oferis, right? And in modern Hebrew, it's also oferis. Modern Hebrew and very old Hebrew of the Chumash, of the Tanakh, lead is oferes. In Chazal, lead is avar. Same letters as aver, different vowels. So, she takes a lead thin tube, upia ratzof otocha, and the end is curved inside, so it doesn't scratch. You obviously put a piece of metal with a sharp edge, of course you'll find lots of blood, because it'll scratch. So, you take, I mean, it's obvious, you take one that everyone knows, I'm sure you've seen metal tubes, and then on the edge, it's like bent inwards so that it has no rough edges. And the edge is like caught inside. You know, it looks like, here's a two-dimensional view, and the end is like this, so it doesn't scratch anyone.
right? That's Pia Rotzel Tatocha. Right? And...
What's the Lashon Ratza?
What?
What's the Lashon Ratza?
I think it means like squished in. The nosenes besocha machol rosh hamoch. And what do you put inside? So first you insert this in the makom of tashmish, and inside you put a stick, and on top of the stick is a little cotton ball. Right. So first you put in the tube, and then if there's any blood on the tzadin, it goes on the tube. Now you put the stick with the cotton ball inside, and the tube only touches the tzadin, doesn't touch the makor. This stick only touches the makor, or the opening of the makor, doesn't touch the tzadin because it's blocked by the tube. And then you have a great diagnostic test. If you find blood on this on here, you know it's from the tzadin. If you find blood on the cotton ball, you know, I mean, it wasn't cotton then, or maybe it was, whatever it was, a cloth ball, then you know that it's from the makor. Mechnes also makor, you put it inside. Ad makor shamash dash. Shamash here is a euphemism for the man's Eivor Tashmish. Meaning as far as the tashmish goes, nimtza dam al rosho biyadushim na makor v'asura. If you find dam over here, you know the bleeding is for the makor. So she's asura.
What if you have a wound on the top?
What?
What if you have a wound on the top?
What if you have a wound on the top? That is a...
Like, wouldn't that be like maybe one of the more likely ways that she would actually get wounded? If
that is a great question. I've been wondering that question for many years. Meaning, what if
this helps?
What if it really is a wound of like, or you know, sensitive skin that gets easily scratched, but it's like managed by the opening to the mukar top, what we call the cervix. So then, she'll fail this test, but it's really a wound. It's really not menstrual blood. It's really not from the mukar. Meaning, even if you stick this in the middle, there's still a little flesh of the outside here. And what if it's that flesh of the outside that's sensitive? No, because it could be from the out. You know, it could be. You know, unless you make it a very tiny cotton ball. First of all, okay. So he says. So Jacob says maybe we consider. But it doesn't matter. It's still a makah. It's not stunning. Fair enough. Jacob says maybe we consider like the opening of the cervix, even the outer opening of the cervix, to be the makor. And therefore it would be the makor. But still, I think that like there's the we hold.
If you have makor in the makor,
then that's not what we're dealing with in this sif, I admit. It's mutter, it's not this sif. So it's not a kash on this sif. We assume that at the very least, like the outside we assume that the outside of the cervix here is called the tzadim. And therefore, that would be a problem. And even if it was the makor, if it was a scratch, then so it's still, she wouldn't really be tmeya. That would be a makor. Makor is also not matami. So it's a good question, meaning if you did this, might you get a false ro machos tashmish result?
Because we get rid of some of the percentages, is that like the idea that since you eliminate the size?
So the answer is that we test the best we can.
Right.
This is the best diagnostic test we could do. Now, if you'll say maybe nowadays you can do better diagnostic tests, maybe. Maybe nowadays, you know, instead of doing this, you could, you could look with a speculum, and you could take a, you know, you could get a camera, and you can do all kinds of things nowadays. So maybe you could get a better view nowadays. You could have a better test nowadays. But the answer probably just is that's the best test they could do. So they did the best they could.
But even the red is not foolproof, but it's just...
Even if it's not foolproof...
It's good.
But, as Jacob pointed out, you could say two reasons why it's not foolproof. Either you could say it's not foolproof because it might be from the tzadim all the way on top, or you could say, no, all the way on top you have a thin cotton ball, that counts as makor. It's not foolproof because it might still be a scratch. Right, that's what Jacob was saying. Yeah. Lemaisa... Now, of course, how many possible results could you get for this diagnostic test? Practically, not halachically.
Two, three.
Three. Either you might find blood on the top,
or on the side,
or on the side, or
nothing.
Now, if you find blood on the top, it's pretty posh. That's a problem, right? Find blood on the side, pretty posh. Now she's mutter forever. You've proven the whole problem all along was sudden. What if you don't find blood at all? That's mysterious, right? So let's see. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Nimtza dam al rosh v'yaduushim in a mokar v'asura. The imlav, if you don't find blood on the top, v'yaduushim in a tzadim mutarim, you know that it's from the tzadim umutera. Sorry, the optimization is from the digazu. Even nowadays, when we're not a bucky, we can still rely on this medika. Okay, grandma felt confident enough. Now let's see again, what are the three possibilities? One possibility is, let me just put it on the board. Nimtza al rosho, the din, and the reason. Nimtza al rosho, the din is asura, because the dam is min hamakor. So what have we proven? That tashmish causes dam to come from the makor, at least within reasonable certainty.
Just again to clarify, I know I've raised this before, but once still does that? Like, why is one time
a no, she's muhsa three times already that tashmish makes her bleed. We just don't know where it's from. So once, Glenosa, that it was all from the Makar.
Yes, I didn't mean on the thing. Let's find on the side. So now we can say, like...
Now Glenosa was all from the side. We treat this as in Glenosa on all three. Yes, this is Glenosa on all three. Meaning, she had three times blood. We don't know from where. If this test shows Makar, she had three times for the Makar. If this test shows Stodden, she had three times for the Stodden. Okay, what if it's... Second scenario. Nimtza al Hatstodden. Then, Poshet, she's Muteres. Because Pasha, the dam is min hatzkadim, and min hatzkadim is no problem. It's not dam from the makor. It's just wound blood. It's the same as from your finger or your toes. Now, the interesting case, however, is what about if she didn't find at all? Lo matza dam klal. She didn't find it all. Midayik from the Shulchan Aruch, what's her din? Muteris, right? It's very clear. Nimtza dam al rosho is asura, and if not, it's muteris. The din is muteris. But here, it's not so clear why. Why is she muteris? After all, if I was designing this experiment, you know, I was doing a biology lab, and I was designing this experiment, you know what I would say? I would say, if you find on top, she's asura. If you find on the side, she's muteris. If you don't find at all, it's a failed experiment, and you don't conclude anything. That's what I would have thought. Right? Because you know she's going to bleed and she didn't. So it must be there's something you did the experiment wrong. Yet, that's not what we